Let's all take our Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3 for our Bible reading today. Before the message, we'll take some time and read the scripture, Philippians chapter 3. Of course, the New Testament says, Jesus said, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." So we like to give attendance to reading and take some time just to read through the scripture before we preach. And that works out pretty well usually on Sunday mornings. Philippians chapter 3. And this morning we'll read verses 1 through 10. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." This year's theme at Bethel Baptist Church for 2010 has been knowing Christ. And verse 10 says, "that I may know Him." We've had a great time looking at that verse and all that it means and some that it entails. Today I'd like to go back earlier in the passage and look at something very important that will help us to know Christ. Before I preach, let's pray. Father, I ask that this morning you would give me the filling and power of your Holy Spirit. Now, Father, I would almost feel presumptuous to ask for it, except that that's what you said to do. You said, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" Now, Lord, I pray that your power would rest upon this service, that as the Word of God goes forth and I talk to people's ears, Lord, would you talk to hearts? Would you accomplish in our lives today the things that you want to accomplish? Lord, I pray that not one of us would leave here the same, but that we would allow you, through the Word of God, to change us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Three little boys were playing in the backyard of one of the boys, and pretty soon the conversation turned, you know how it goes, to these little boys saying, Well, my daddy's better than yours. Well, my daddy's bigger than yours. Well, my daddy can beat your daddy any day." And these three little boys were going back and forth like little boys like to do. Well, one little boy finally piped up and said, "Yeah, well, my daddy knows the mayor." Pretty impressive, huh? And then another little boy said, "Well, my daddy, he knows the governor." Oh, real impressive now, okay? He knows the governor. Well, the third boy gets ready to speak, and they happen to be in the backyard of the third boy. And his dad just happened to be at the kitchen window overhearing all of this. And his dad was wondering, okay, what's my boy going to say to try to top this? And that little boy, he thought for a moment, he said, "Well, your dad may know the mayor, and your dad may know the governor, but my daddy, he knows Christ. He knows God." And I'll tell you, that probably just melted that man's heart to hear him say that. But I wonder, can that be said of you? That person knows Christ. Oh, not only knows about Jesus Christ, but knows Him in an intimate way, has a personal relationship with Him, first of all in salvation, but then also in our daily walk with Him. Wouldn't it be great to be able to have it said of us, oh, they know the mayor, they know the governor, but that guy, that lady, they know God. They know Christ, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Well, today, on Anniversary Sunday, I want us to see that knowing Him involves this idea, having no confidence in the flesh. Look down at verse 3, chapter 3 and verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Here the Bible tells us, have no confidence in the flesh. In verse number 3, when the Apostle Paul penned the words, we are the circumcision, he was saying, we are the people of God. Now, circumcision was given as a rite to Abraham and to the nation that would come from his progeny, okay, the Jews. They were given the rite of circumcision. It was to set them apart. They were to be set apart from all other nations. They were going to be God's people. And one of the ways that they knew that was through the rite of circumcision. As time went on, circumcision became to be a term that was used just to describe God's people. And the Jews, they started calling people who weren't God's people, they started calling them the uncircumcision. Those people, they are the uncircumcision. They've not been circumcised. They're not set apart for God's special purpose. At the time that Philippians chapter 3 was penned, the Jews, supposed to be God's people, had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. The Bible says in prophecy that the Messiah would be cut off. You see, the Jews had cut Him off. They said, no, He's not our Messiah. And they had the Romans crucify Him on the cross. They cut Him off. And that's why in verse number 2, it says, beware of the concision. The concision, that's a word that means cutting off. Beware of those Jews that just cut off Jesus Christ. They're the people that cut off. He said, you know what? They're supposed to be God's people, but they cut Him off. We are the circumcision. We are God's people now. The ones that have received Jesus Christ. We are the ones that are the true followers of God. Well, then He gives three marks to identify the people who really do know God. Look down at verse 3. You'll be able to find these. He says, we are the circumcision. We are the people who really follow God, who, number 1, worship God in the Spirit. They worship God in the Spirit. You know, that's still true today. The real followers of Christ, we worship God in the Spirit. It's not just in the letter of the law, but it's in the Spirit. See, some people, they try to do everything just right on the outside, but they don't love God on the inside. Now, should we do right on the outside? Sure we should. But it's not enough to be right on the outside. We've got to love God on the inside. And we've got to worship God in the Spirit. We dress up for church, and that's fine. Now, if you came today, I'm just glad you're here. You don't have to dress up to be at Bethel Baptist Church. You just come with whatever the Lord gives you to wear. But you know what? We want to look good for God. We want to show that we love Him. But you know what? The outside is not as important as what the inside is. We've got to worship God in the Spirit. When we sang those songs today, were you singing, oh, victory in Jesus, I wonder what we're having for lunch, you know? Or were you worshiping God in Spirit? Were you thinking about what you were saying? When we were praying together and we were leading in prayer, were you worshiping God in Spirit? Were you praying along with us? You see, the true followers of God worship Him in Spirit, not just by the rules. You see, the Pharisees, the Jews, they kept all the rules. They said, oh, you know, we're going to do everything just right. But they weren't worshiping in Spirit. Look down again at verse 3. They worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Hey, if you look around and you see Christians who are grumpy, you know something's wrong. okay? You know something's wrong. I don't think we have a church grump, but it seems like every church, when I was a kid growing up, we had a church grump at our church, you know? You'd say, how you doing, Mr. So-and-so? You know, and every church seemed to have a church grump, but we don't have one yet, so don't you become one. But we ought to be rejoicing in the Lord. True followers of God have a lot to be happy about. We're on our way to heaven. Yeah, the economy's bad. Hey, we're on our way to heaven. Yeah, but, you know, we might not be able to keep our houses. We got a heavenly home. We've got a mansion in heaven prepared for us. And Christians have a lot to rejoice about. True followers of God rejoice in Christ Jesus. And then it says, they have no confidence in the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. I'd like to take the rest of our time to talk about that. You see, the Jews, they were claiming to be God's people. But they were putting their confidence in the flesh. They were putting their confidence in the fact that they were physically circumcised. They were putting their confidence in the fact that they rigorously kept the Sabbath day. They made up all these extra rules like, you know, you can pick up this much but not this much on the Sabbath day because then you're working on the Sabbath. And they had all these guidelines and things that they rigorously kept. They were putting confidence in their own selves, in the flesh. They had confidence in the fact that they sought to do good works in order to earn God's favor. But the Bible says, put no confidence in the flesh. Put no confidence in the flesh. My kids grew up in Michigan. And one of our yearly tasks was about this time of year to take out that window air conditioner and put in the storm window. Now, does anybody still have, down here in Florida, do you have a window air conditioner, anybody? Okay, a couple of you, all right? Most people have central air, right? So you know what a window air conditioner is, right? That big heavy thing, you got to lug up the steps from the basement. You know, basements in Florida. Had to lug it up the steps and then put it in the window. And every year, you know, you take it out again. And it's getting cold in Michigan about this time. And usually I waited too long. And by the time I went out there, I about freeze my fingers off trying to put the storm window up. But this would be a good time to take it out. But every year, we take out that air conditioner. And I go to the garage. And I had the storm window tucked in a little slot in the garage. I had taken all the screws, put them in an envelope, and taped them to the window so they wouldn't get lost, right? So I pull that thing out, take it out to the front porch, get ready to put the storm window on, get the screws out, grab my screwdriver. Well, my kids, especially when they were toddlers, one of them especially loved tools. And so he had a plastic box full of plastic tools. Remember the plastic tool set? And when I got my screwdriver, you know, he'd get his screwdriver. You know, me shrew too, Daddy, me shrew too. You know, I'm going to screw too. He wants to shrew. He wants to have a part in it. And he'd take that plastic screwdriver, you know, and he'd shrew on the windowsill. And he'd screw on the window. It doesn't hurt anything. It's just soft plastic, you know. And he'd screw everywhere. But he wasn't doing anything with it. Now, he thought he was. And I'll tell you what, he was really hot stuff if I got one of the real screws out. And I said, here, why don't you put this one in? You know, where's it go? Right there in that hole. So he puts it in the hole. And then he takes his plastic screwdriver and, I shrew, Daddy. I shrew, you know, I shrew. But that screw's not going in there, is it? Okay, he has all the confidence that he's doing it and that he's helping Daddy. But that screw's not going in. Not with that screwdriver. And all the confidence that he has in himself and what he's doing amounts to nothing. Listen, the Bible says, misplaced confidence will not get the job done. Put no confidence in the flesh. Now, what is the flesh? The Bible contrasts the flesh with the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Have you ever experienced that, where you want to do things that would please God, but you can't? You want to do the right thing, but you keep messing up. Young person keeps getting in trouble at school. They don't want to, but they keep messing up. You want to get along. You don't want to lose your temper, but you lose it again. It's because we have the flesh. Now, if you're saved, you also have the Spirit. And those two fight against each other. If you'll feed the Spirit and starve the flesh, it'll get easier to live the Christian life. That's why being in church is so important, because you're feeding the Spirit. And that's why starving the flesh is so important. Don't look at ungodly things. Don't watch ungodly things on the TV. Starve the flesh, feed the spirit, because the flesh will steer you wrong every time. Galatians 6:8 says, "He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Okay, if we sow to our flesh, if we do things for self and try to feed self, we're going to reap corruption. But if we'll sow to the Spirit, if we'll do things that count for eternity, the Bible says we'll reap life everlasting. Romans 7:18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." He said, I want to do the right things. I want to please God with my life. But in my flesh, in me, dwelleth no good thing. Now, this is exactly opposite of what our world says today. The world says, hey, man is basically good. If we just educate him right, then he'll do right. And we'll bring in utopia and have a beautiful society. It is not true. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. All of us, our flesh is wicked. We grieve sometimes when we hear about a good Christian, supposedly good Christian, who has now fallen into some wicked sin. But the truth is that could happen to anybody who puts confidence in their flesh. Because in our flesh is no good thing. The world says, hey, you're pretty good. You can handle it. You just got to have confidence. You just have to have confidence. They wouldn't say it this way, but confidence in your flesh. The world says, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. That is like the stupidest saying. Now, I wore some boots up in Michigan. Did you ever try to pull yourself up by your... I mean, you can't lift yourself. It's impossible. Because it's physically impossible. Go home and try it. You can't pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. It's a stupid saying. The world says, hey, climb the ladder of success one rung at a time. Your success is in your own hands. Kathleen Hassan bills herself as a confidence coach. And she says, if you catch yourself saying something negative, consciously tell yourself to stop. And then replace that thought with a more positive and empowering statement, such as, I am enough, just the way I am. Or, I matter. Or, I am loved and lovable. Okay. All right, wait a second here. The power of positive thinking. Some preachers even have gotten into that. Listen, the Bible doesn't encourage the power of positive thinking. Now, we can think positively about our Lord and His power, but we shouldn't think positively about ourselves. In me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Romans 8:8 says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, we will do much better when we start to get the right view of ourselves and realize, hey, the only value I have is because Christ died for me. Yes, I am valuable. Don't go committing suicide thinking, oh, I'm worthless. No, you're valuable because Christ died for you. But our value is in Him, not in ourselves. So many young people are caught up in trying to get a good self concept. No, we need a good God concept. If we have a good God concept, He'll help us to see ourselves the way we need to see ourselves. We'll see our weakness and we'll cast ourselves on Him, and then we'll see Him do great things through us. Okay, we've got to have that right view of self, the biblical view of self. So, have no confidence in the flesh. First of all, for salvation. Don't have confidence in the flesh when it comes to you trying to get to heaven. Isaiah 64:6 says, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You know, when somebody says, you know what, I'm going to try to do righteous things. I'm going to try to make God happy with my life so that He could take me to heaven. I'll give to charity, I'll be kind to people, I'll do nice things, I'll go to church, I'll do all these good things, I'll do these righteous things. But Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And when God looks down, He says, that doesn't please me. That's disgusting. Why would that be? I thought if we could be good enough, we could get to heaven. That's what I used to think before I learned what the Bible said. Why would it be that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags? because we're trusting in ourselves. We're saying, I can be good enough, God. If I just try harder, I can make you accept me. And we're trusting in ourselves. How can we, the song that Josh and I sang, how can we pay for all he's done when Jesus paid the price? We can't pay for our own sins. We can't overcome by good works. We have to have no confidence in the flesh when it comes to our salvation. There are basically two ideas about how to get to heaven. Man's idea and God's idea. Okay, man's idea, in all different forms, is basically, if you are just good enough, you will make it. A lot of the different religions teach this. Even very religious people think, if I just go to church and take the sacraments and take communion, or if I get baptized, or if I get confirmed, or if I do all these good things, if I treat people right, you know, the Ten Commandments, or try to keep the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And if I do all these good things, then I can get to heaven. That's confidence in the flesh. And the Bible says, put no confidence in the flesh. Now, some of those things I mentioned are good things. But the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. It's not by the good things that we do. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. We can't get there by our own good deeds. The Apostle Paul understood this. Look down at our chapter again. Look at verse number 4. He said, if anybody can have confidence in the flesh, it's me, he says. And he's going to brag just a little bit here, but then he's going to turn it around and show you that he's not really bragging. He says, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Then he starts listing some things. I was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said, look, you Jews that are trying to get to heaven by pleasing God by your good works, he said, I've done all that. He said, I was circumcised on day number 8, just like the Hebrew children were supposed to be. And I'm in the tribe of Benjamin. I know what tribe I'm in. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. The Pharisees kept the law, tried to keep it perfectly down to the smallest detail. He said, that's what I was. I was a Pharisee. I tried to keep God's laws perfectly. If anybody was perfect in keeping God's law, it was us Pharisees. Verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He said, listen, I was zealous for God. I thought that these Christians were wrong and false and against God, so I was zealous. I went and did what I thought God wanted me to do, and I persecuted those Christians. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He said, look, nobody could point the finger at me. Nobody could say, well, Paul, you didn't obey this part of God's law. Or, Paul, you didn't keep the Sabbath day. Or you didn't do this or that. He was blameless. Nobody could. None of us are as good as the Apostle Paul was. Now, I'm looking out at some pretty good people. But the truth is, none of us were as good as him. All of us have things that people could point the finger at and say, well, you did this. Or, you did this. Or, you were disrespectful to your parents. Or, you were dishonest that one time. And all of us have things that people could point the finger. But Paul said, look, when you talk about the righteousness of the law, I was blameless. But look what he says in verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He says, all those things that I thought were so good, all those things that I thought were gain and were going to get me gain in God's eyes, he says, I realize now those are all loss. All those good things that I did count for nothing to get me to heaven. Because I have to put no confidence in the flesh. Some of you are sitting back there thinking, Pastor Needler, that can't be. I mean, my whole life I've been trying to live good so I could please God. And what you're saying can't be true. But wait a minute, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Put no confidence in the flesh. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. we get to heaven and boast about it. If we could get to heaven by our good works, we get to heaven and say, yeah, I got here because I was a good guy. I gave a lot of money to the church, and I went every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, Sunday school. Man, I was faithful. We'd boast about it. No, the Bible says it's not by our good things. Put no confidence in the flesh. Instead, put your confidence in Christ alone. Christ alone. That's what the word believe means in the Bible. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe means put your trust on, put your confidence in Him alone. Now, folks, a lot of people in America know about Jesus. They know that Jesus died. They know that He was buried. They know He rose again the third day, and they celebrate it on Easter. But knowing about it is not the same as putting your trust in Him. You can believe about Him. Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe He died. You know, the truth is, the Bible says the devils believe and tremble. If we were to conjure up a demon here and say, do you believe Jesus died on the cross? The demon would say, yeah. Do you believe Jesus was buried? Yeah. Do you believe Jesus rose again? Yeah. Do you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? Yeah. But are you trusting Jesus to get... No, man, I hate Jesus. See, knowing about it is not enough. There has to be the time in your life when a transaction takes place and you take your belief off of yourself, your trust off of yourself, and you put it on Christ. I grew up as a kid going to an Episcopal church. Now, if you're Episcopal, I'm not cutting down your church necessarily, okay? But that church that we went to in Pennsylvania said, if you're good enough, you'll go to heaven. Just do the stuff the church says and you'll go to heaven. And so my parents had me sprinkled when I was a baby and other things like that. But you know, when I was 9 years old, somebody showed me some of the verses in the Bible that I'm telling you about. And I realized, I'm not on my way to heaven. I've tried to be good, but even though I've tried to be good, I'm still a sinner. And God can't let any sin into heaven, and that's why Jesus had to die. And I don't remember the exact words I said, but I remember calling on the Lord, just like the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I called on the Lord and I said something like, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm not going to trust my own goodness anymore. I'm putting all my trust in You. Now, a lot of people in the United States are trusting in Jesus plus their works. And I want to say that based on the Bible, they're not really saved. Because the Bible says, put no confidence in the flesh. Perhaps you've come today and you've known about Jesus, but you thought that heaven was dependent upon you doing certain things. Would you let it sink in today? And would you make the decision today, like I did when I was 9, and say, today I'm going to put all my trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to call upon Him to save me, just like the Bible says. Later in the service, we'll give you an opportunity to do that today, and to trust Christ alone for your soul's salvation. You know, if you're trusting Him plus baptism, or Him plus church membership, then you're not really trusting Him alone, are you? Trust Him alone. Put no confidence in the flesh for salvation. But also, many of us are already saved. Put no confidence in the flesh for soul winning, service, and church progress. Soul winning, service, and church progress. Folks, let's not put our confidence in the flesh. Let's take some of those dreams that God has given us for Bethel Baptist Church, and let's surrender them to Him. Let's take the goals, the visions, the plans that He's given, and let's make sure that they're surrendered to Him. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, He said, I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Sometimes we call it Bethel Baptist, we call it My church, okay? And if you're calling that out of loyalty, and you love your church, and you say, I really love my church, okay, that's fine. But you know, I don't want to say it's my church because it's His church. I'm the pastor, but it's not my church. Sometimes at preachers' meetings, they'll say, my church is doing pretty well. You know, we saw some people saved. It's not my church. It's His church. I'm just an under-shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And folks, if we put confidence in the flesh, if we think, yeah, this is my church, I got to do it. I've got to get some more people to come to our church. I've got to help us get our building built. No, put no confidence in the flesh. Now, yes, have dreams, have visions, have plans, but surrender them to God and allow Him to give us that dream and to give us that vision and to give us that plan. And if we have ideas that aren't from Him, then we allow Him to change those because we put no confidence in the flesh. Hey, we want to impact Southwest Florida and Sarasota and Charlotte County with the gospel of Christ, but we cannot do it in the flesh. We want to see souls saved and families rescued, but we cannot see any of that with confidence in the flesh. In our own flesh, we could go out week after week, knocking on doors, telling people about Christ, showing them how to be saved, but it will avail nothing if we don't have God's power on us, if we're going out in the power of the flesh. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8:8. You say, well, Pastor Kneedler, how do I know if I have confidence in God or if I have my confidence in the flesh for these things? I think confidence in God alone shows in two ways. One, by fervent prayer. And two, by a moment-by-moment acknowledging of our need of Him. Okay, first of all, by fervent prayer. Look, if I can go through my whole day and not be talking to God and say, Lord, I got to have you helping me right now. Lord, I need your power right now. Lord, I'd like to get through to some of these people at work. They need to be saved. They need to know how to go to heaven. Lord, I'd like to get through to them. Lord, I'm here at school and there's a lot of people who don't know you as Savior. Lord, I'd like to be able to talk to some of my teachers or my classmates and show them how to be saved. If we're not talking to the Lord like that, we're just going through the day on our own, in our own strength, thinking, you know, I can handle it. I can make it through today. That's confidence in the flesh. If we have our confidence in the Lord, it's shown by fervent prayer. I've started something where I try not to pray, Lord, help me, but instead, Lord, have me. You know, instead of saying, Lord, help me to tell this person about Jesus, I'll say, Lord, have me to tell this person about Jesus. Lord, help me to keep a good attitude in my family. No, how about, Lord, have me keep a good attitude in my family? And there's a little difference there. You see, when we say, Lord, help me, it almost sounds like, you know, I can almost do it, Lord. I can almost do it by myself. I just need a little bit of help. But the Bible says, put no confidence in the flesh. So instead it's, Lord, I can't do it at all. I don't just need you to help me. I need you to have me. Lord, I need you to take over. Let me encourage you to start praying that way. Instead of, Lord, help me to be a testimony for you, Lord, have me to be a testimony for you. It's only changing one word, but it'll change your thinking. It'll help you to realize that we have no confidence in the flesh. It's shown by fervent prayer and by a moment-by-moment acknowledging of our need. You know, if you can go the whole morning and never acknowledge, Lord, I need you right now, then you're going through in your own strength, confidence in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Now, that's a negative and a positive. We're not sufficient of ourselves. I cannot handle it, God. I am not sufficient of myself. But our sufficiency is of God. With Him, we can handle it. Our sufficiency is of Him. He's sufficient. He can handle the temptations. He can handle the rough times. He can keep our attitude and our anger in check. He can do it because our sufficiency is of Him. For soul winning, for service, and for church progress, let's put no confidence in the flesh. Hey, we want to see progress at our church. We want to see that new building completed, and we want to move in there. But folks, the obstacles are too great if we're trying to do it in the flesh. The red tape is enough to bury us if we're trying to do it without relying on the Lord. I'd like to see that new building transformed into our church building. Nothing ostentatious or wasteful, but something worthy of the glory of our God. I'd like to see a pulpit from which the Word of God could be faithfully proclaimed. I'd like to see a choir loft where the singing of praise can take place to our incredible Savior. I'd like to see pews or chairs from which the congregation can sing and pray and hear the Word of God. I'd like to see a platform with some steps. You know, the old timers, the old evangelists used to call it the old-fashioned altar, where people can respond to the Word of God when it's preached and come up to that old-fashioned altar and make some things right with God and get on fire for Him. Man, I'd like to see a sign out front. You know, Bethel Baptist Church, instead of that little sign I have to put out and take down every week. Praise the Lord for it. But I'd like to see a permanent sign. I'd like to see some flagpoles. You know, the American flag and the Christian flag up on flagpoles outside of our church. I'd like to see some church buses to pick up people who don't have transportation for church. Someday I'd like to see a Christian school where we can educate our kids from a godly perspective. We have a big God. So let's dream big, all right? But let's surrender those dreams and plans and vision to Him. And say, Lord, none of this will be accomplished unless You do it. Let's put no confidence in the flesh. In the flesh, we will never realize this vision. If anything's going to be accomplished, God has to do it. Amen? Now look, He may use us. He may do it through us. But it will be His doing. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 118:23. Put no confidence in the flesh for your soul's salvation, for soul winning service and church progress. And finally today, put no confidence in the flesh for personal growth and victory. I want to skip some here. But we shouldn't look at our Christian walk and say, okay, God, I think I can do this. It's really hard, you know, to live like a Christian ought to live. To do the right things and do the wrong things. But Lord, I think I can do this. That's wrong. Put no confidence in the flesh. Instead, we ought to say, Lord, I can't do it. You take over. I surrender to You. Lord, You take over. For some reason, Christians think that though it was God's grace that saved us, that living the Christian life comes by our own efforts. No, the same grace that saves in Titus 2:11, is the grace that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. It's the same grace. We've got to have God's grace to get it done. Perhaps you're battling a worldly habit, and you know it's not pleasing to God. Do not battle it with confidence in the flesh. Cast yourself humbly on the Lord. Admit your own inability to see victory. Then surrender and allow Christ to take over. Because you know what? It's not hard for Him to get victory over that sin. Allow Him to take over. There's nothing more frustrating than trying to live the Christian life in the strength of the flesh. And there's nothing more joyous than living the Christian life in surrender to God. With Him, living out His life through us. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Hey, it's the Christ life. It's Him living out His life through us. That's where victory is found. We cannot have confidence in the flesh. And when He takes over, when He starts giving victory, what a joy it is. The Apostle Paul got hold of this concept. Look down again in our chapter. In verse 7, he says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Hey, pretty strong language here. He says, I'm going to count this as a pile of dung, all this good stuff that I did in the flesh. I'm counting that as nothing so that I can have Christ, so that He can take over, so that He can live out His life through me. Verse 9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Oh, that today on Anniversary Sunday, we would each learn to have no confidence in the flesh, to find our confidence instead in the person and work of Christ, and to see Him take over and start giving us that personal victory in the different areas that we battle in our Christian walk, and to start seeing Him take over when it comes to the dreams and visions that we have on our 8th anniversary for Bethel Baptist Church. and then allowing Him to save your soul if you've not yet been saved. Let's go back to my son trying to screw in the storm window with his plastic screwdriver. You know what? That screw just won't go in. And finally, Daddy, you screw it. You screw it, Daddy. You screw it. Because he can't get it in. Oh, and sure, I could have just gone over there and screwed it in myself. But I'll tell you what, it's a father's joy to take that plastic screwdriver out of his hand and put a real screwdriver in there. And then to wrap my hand around his and say, let's go, son. And to screw that thing in. And this time it works. And he thinks, I shrew, Daddy, I shrew. But it's not him doing it, is it? It's Daddy doing it through him. Put no confidence in the flesh. You allow God to wrap His hand around yours. You allow God to take over and see what He'll do. He'll get those screws in place. Everything starts falling into place when God takes over. But He won't do it as long as we have confidence in the flesh. I can do it, Daddy. I can do it, Lord. I can handle it. I shrew. And you're not screwing. Nothing good is happening. But when you let God take over, He'll wrap His hand around yours. And He'll accomplish great things through your life that'll count for eternity. And you'll never regret it.